Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Across South Dakota, the recent rising waters has some South Dakota highways closed. What factors go into the reopening of those roads and what are the safety concerns? Darren Berquist is South Dakota's Secretary of Transportation and he joins us today with insight on the issues ahead. Secretary Berquist, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the big picture. Tell us how the flooding has affected South Dakota state highways overall.
Well, things are getting better than they were. During the peak flooding times, we had up to 25 different locations on the state highway system where we had to close due to water being over the road. Most of those are caused by ice jams that block a culvert, and so they were relatively, short-term in duration. Our crews were able to get out there with the backhoe and clear the ice jam and get the water flowing again through the culvert, and that caused us to get off the road so we could reopen. We're down to, maybe a handful of sites right now that we're still working, that still have water on the roadway. But things have certainly got better from what they were here a week or two ago.
When you look back, how does this sort of fit into, overall what you expect in spring? What does it look like historically?
Well, I think historically we have it's been a while since we've seen this number of road closures and water over the roadway. So it certainly is not a normal year for us, but we've been fortunate to this point that where we do have situations like this, we've been able to handle most of them in a quick manner, and which helps alleviate having any major damage to our roads.
How is that monitored when you say, most of them are kind of short terms and crews arrive? Is that something that you're monitoring just on a daily basis, or are residents of South Dakota calling in and reporting it? How are you gathering the data that tells you where to go?
Sure, and we've got staff spread across the state in our various shops and offices, and the vast majority of these situations we're aware of, a potential site that may become a problem or has historically been a problem. So we've got people out monitoring those locations and driving the roads and just keeping an eye on things. And then if and when something does happen or a culvert gets plugged or we get water on the road, we've got staff that are close by who can respond quickly and deal with that problem.
So I think most people know by now that you're not supposed to drive through those flooded waters. You can't really tell if the road is even there. But talk to us a little bit about what happens when, the water stays there a little bit longer? What can happen to the road? And as you as a department sort of make decisions about removing barricades, what goes into that process?
Sure, and I'm glad you brought that up. I was actually thinking of it before we talked today, Lori, about not driving through water on the road for safety reasons. And it seems that we say that year after year after year, and then inevitably we have one or two vehicles that do it and get swept away or turns into a bad situation. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Really, the biggest concern with that is when you've got water going over a road, that water can start eroding the road, and that would not be evident from the vehicle driving up to and seeing the water. So you could drive into the water and fall into an eroded ditch, so to speak. And that's something before we get to the point of opening a road up. Once the water goes down, we can assess whether there's been any structural-type damage to the road or to the culvert to make sure that there's no further safety concerns before we open it back up to traffic.
Are there engineers? Is that something that the regular transportation department folks know how to, tell me about these people who are out doing this work. I'm curious as to what their skill set is. It has to be multi-layered.
It is, and we've got both. Spread across the state, we've got maintenance workers that are used to handling these types of situations and know what to do when they encounter a situation where the road is underwater in terms of getting barricades and signs up and getting the road closed and getting traffic diverted. And they can also do that initial inspection after the water goes down. Depending on the situation, we've also got engineers across the state. We may need to bring an engineer in to take a more in-depth look at it. just to make sure there aren't issues that would be a concern once we open it back up to traffic. So it's kind of a team effort. You know, both our maintenance workers and our engineers are working together to make sure we handle these situations in a safe manner.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio, and my guest is South Dakota's Secretary of Transportation, Darren Burdquist, and we're talking about how flooding has affected state highways overall. And I'm wondering, Secretary Burdquist, about the big picture then of the long-term impact of this flooding on state infrastructure, on those roads, on the bridges, on the budget, as we look at some unexpected spring weather.
Yeah, it's as I said earlier, Lori, I think we're gonna come out of this one fairly fortunate. We do have locations where some of the shoulders have washed away, or there's been some erosion in a ditch or under the edge of the road. But as of right now, we're not anticipating that we're gonna have any major damage. We're gonna have some things to fix, once the flooding ends and things dry out a little bit, but. From our perspective on the state roads, we're not anticipating having a huge problem this year. And, again, I'm only talking about the state highways because I know on some county roads and local roads, they've got some much greater damage that'll need to be addressed before the road can be open. But from a state highway perspective, I think we're doing pretty good at this point.
Coming out of this year's legislative session, with the new governor and, everything that's gone into the past few months, are you satisfied with, from a budgetary standpoint and where the department is headed at this point?
I am. I think we're in a very, very good situation from a budget perspective. We passed Senate Bill 1 back in 2015, and that, provided a substantial amount of additional revenue to the department for maintenance and road construction activities, and that money comes in every year. And I think the amount of repairs and maintenance we're going to have to do as a result of this flooding is not going to have really any major impact to our overall budget or other planned construction and maintenance activities.
All right. Any thoughts on state bridges that you wanted to make sure to point out to people where we're at on? And what is that infrastructure looking like, and where does the attention need to be?
Well, in South Dakota, and this has been a well-known problem for a number of years now, our state highway bridges continue to be in excellent condition. We have, maybe two or three that we're just monitoring as floodwaters go up around some of those structures. But we're in South Dakota, where our real bridge issues are at are on the local system, the county roads in some of the cities. And historically, South Dakota is ranked nationally fairly low, and it's because of the condition of those local bridges and those county bridges. And in 2015, they started the local bridge improvement grant fund, which is funneling $15 million a year to the counties to help them start chipping away at that backlog. But I think that's going to continue to be the biggest bridge challenge for South Dakota for quite a few years.
If people from South Dakota have a concern about safety of a state highway, how do they sort of reach out? Where can they follow the updates, that you're posting as you figure things out as well?
Sure, and there are a number of sources for that. Obviously, if somebody sees a situation that looks to be an immediate danger to the traveling public, the first call should be to 911. We have our Safe Travel USA website. People are used to looking at that for winter road conditions, but that will also show all the updates on where we may have a road closed or a bridge shut down or something like that. So those will be the two primary sites. Otherwise, they can contact their local emergency manager or the DOT main office here in Pierre, and we can get them the information they're looking for.
All right. Once we get through the flooding, we'll have another conversation about all those driverless cars.
Yes, and how, we'll do that.
I'm sure they'll be able to monitor the exact condition of the road underneath the water.
That's right.
To make the best artificial intelligence decision for us, right? right around the corner.
Yep.
Secretary Darren Burdquist, South Dakota Secretary of Transportation, thank you so much for being here with us and giving us a bit of your time. I know you're pretty busy.
Thanks, Lori.